Well, I thank the Lord that God's bigger than any of those problems. It's bigger than anything that we'd face or come our way. Feel a special need tonight for the Holy Spirit to bless us together. That's without Him, we don't have anything. And I just feel a special need that the Lord would bless us tonight. And I would ask that you would look to the Lord to bless you and that you would not be offended at anything that would be mentioned tonight. I can assure you it's Bible. And we want the Lord to bless us. And the Lord would... I want to write a little word on the board. It's a question that I've been asked a number of times in my little short lifetime. It's a question I've asked probably more times than people have asked me. I said, why? I want to talk about why tonight. And we could be here for a long time. We want the Lord to help us to bring out what He wants us to and leave the rest. And if He wants us to come, give some more another time, we want the Lord to do that also. But many times people come and they ask us, they say, why do you do this? Why do you dress the way that you dress? And why do you go the places that you go? And why do you wear your hair that way? I am somebody that I don't like weak answers. I don't like someone when I ask a question that is a valid question. And this has happened. People tend sometimes when they're uncomfortable with the question, they tend to put you off. And they tend to do in runs around you. And you leave and you're still like, they never answered my question. I just wanted to know why. Why couldn't they just told me? If they didn't know, you know, there have been times I just say, I just don't know. I just don't know. And that's okay. If you don't know, it's good for us to admit it. I don't know. But there are many things that people want to know why. And as I mentioned, it's a broad subject. It's as big as this book is. And that's a big subject. But there are some things in the Church of God that we hold and that we teach that we cannot always turn and say, here it is in black and white. So we want to look at some Scripture tonight by the help of the Lord that we may have a little bit better understanding. And if you know all this, you may know a lot more than I do, that it would be a time of thinking and a time of refreshing. And I don't want to get to the place that my son comes to me and says, Dad, why do people do this in the church? And why do they live this way? And I have to say, son, I don't know. It's been taught that way for a number of years, and I don't have a clue, but I'm going to go along with it. There's a place in our limited understanding. If you don't understand of the truth and what the church teaches, there's a place that it's okay to say, well, the saints have taught it, and God has blessed their life, and by the help of the Lord, I'm going to follow that. Because I've seen where the Spirit is blessed. But there is also a place that the Lord said to study the Scripture. He wants us to be in a place, living in a place, that we don't just go along with any little opinion. And anybody, someone says, well, this is a standard. And you're on the other side of the church saying, well, this is a standard. I want to know what God wants. And I want to know what God wants me to do that I might pass that on to my children. And I might pass that on to somebody else. When people ask the question why, it makes you examine why you do things. And when people ask you why, sometimes you find that maybe you haven't fully understood the reasons why you do something. And I cannot even begin to give you all the answers tonight because I'm far from having them all. But we would want to look at some Scripture tonight by the help of the Lord. We want to begin with 2 Peter in the first chapter. Second Peter, in the first chapter, in the 19th verse. Peter 1:19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
You know, there's some very important points in this Scripture right here. It said that there is no private interpretation of the Scripture. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit tonight, they go hand in hand. And if I take the Bible with my own understanding, you know I'm not going to get very far. And I will err in some doctrine. And I will err in some things that I live and that I teach if I don't have the Spirit of God. But God sent, He's calling the Spirit of truth. He sent the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the Scripture of God. And God is not going to reveal to me one thing based on the Word of God and reveal to you something else by the Holy Spirit. And when we get together, we both say, well, the Lord showed me this. Well, one of us hasn't heard the Lord very good. And so the beginning is to know that there is no private interpretation. And if you think you have a private interpretation, I would say in the fear of God that you need to examine whether it was maybe some opinions, maybe it was the way you were raised, maybe it was just something way that you think. It's time to go back to the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what does this Scripture mean? We have to get back to the foundation, saints. We have to get back to the Bible. And there are many movements in the world today. They have a creed. And they have a doctrine, they have their philosophy, and it many times comes from men's thinking and men's opinions. And those are the people today that aren't living above sin. Those are the ones today that don't have victory in their life. I want something better than that. And I want to found my life. I've given my life, and you have too, for this thing. I've given your heart to God, and I don't want to base my life. I don't want to make my decisions based on something just because Mr. So-and-so down the street said it was this way. I want to have a good foundation. And I want to have something to stand on that when I face God, I can say, God, You gave it to me in Your Word. And it's more than just so-and-so said it. Why do you believe what you believe? May the Lord help us come back and say, I believe it because the Word teaches it. It's not my opinion. It's not what I think. It's not because of my education. But it is because the Word of God teaches it. His Spirit has revealed. And I've seen where the Holy Spirit has blessed people's lives that have followed those things. In Colossians, in the second chapter, Colossians, the second chapter, in the sixth verse, says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And in conjunction with that Scripture, hold that Scripture, turn to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter in the 15th verse, says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Speaks of traditions in both places. One of them speaks, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are many false traditions in the world today. Many people answer the question, why do you do that? And they say, it's been a tradition in our family on Christmas to do this thing. Well, why does your family do such and such? Well, it's just been a tradition. I want to tell you about vain traditions. Some of you have probably heard the little story of the man that got married and his wife was going to cook the roast. And he said, now you need to cut that roast in half and put it in, cook it in two separate pots, and it's just real good because my mother cooked it that way. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But they'd done it that way. It was a good roast, and his mother had done it that way. And so his wife wanted to get to the bottom of this. So she went to his mother and said, "Well, why do you cook your roast? Why do you cut it in half before you cook it?" She said, "Well, my mother did it that way, and it sure was a good roast. And that's just the way you cook it." So she went to the grandmother and asked her. And the grandmother said, "Because I didn't have a big enough pot to put the whole roast in." That's vain tradition. It's traditions that don't make sense. And there are traditions then that the Scripture talks about. He said, "Hold the tradition which ye have been taught." You know, the tradition which you've been taught that the Word of God gives us isn't one of those vain traditions. And when someone comes and asks me the question, why, I want to be able to give a better answer than, well, it's kind of like that roast. I don't have any idea. I don't understand, but it sure was a good one. I want to have something that has a better foundation than that. Because when you get to the root of it, what was it? It was men's thinking. The mother, the man's mother, she just did it because that's the way it had always been done. Folks, just because it's always been done a way doesn't make it right. We need to get back to the Word of God. But, don't get it wrong now, the Scripture talks about some good traditions. It said, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You know what that is? It's the Word of God. The traditions that have been taught to you by our word. Remember where we started in 2 Peter? It was by men that were moved by the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit won't tell me one thing and tell you something else. If that's the case, I think we have man's tradition on our hands. If the Lord tells me, and I'm a man, if there's someone that God has blessed them and they're full of the Holy Spirit, God's going to reveal to them what He does the brother that's 1,000 miles away that knew nothing of it. The Holy Spirit will begin to work and reveal the same things. And there are people that don't have all the light and all this understanding that we have. But I want to caution you tonight, if you don't understand why you live a certain way, if you don't understand why you dress a certain way, I would encourage you, search the Scripture. I would encourage you to get to the bottom of it. And if you find that it's just a fleshly desire to do that, you need to get it out of your life. And if you find it's because the pot just wasn't big enough then, that's not something to stand on. When someone comes among us that doesn't have any understanding and they say, why? We need to have studied the Scripture. We need to know in whom we have believed. We need to know what Christ wants of us, that we would have a firm foundation. Because you'll find real quick that probably there have been times that everybody in here has held something and said, this is the way that it is. And through time and through experience and through the merciful dealings of the Holy Spirit, they come to a place in their experience where they say, you know what? I was wrong. It's really not this way. That was really just my opinion. We all have opinions here tonight. I want to get beyond an opinion. I want to, when someone asks why, I don't want to just say, I think. I want to say, this is what the Lord wants. And this is the reason. And it's a firm foundation. I won't take the time to read. We're going to move along here tonight. The Scripture teaches us in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, it says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Do you know there are things that the Bible does not address everything in black and white? The Word of God does not. The Word of God gives us a basis, though, for every single thing that we face in life. And if you feel like it doesn't address a problem you have, I would challenge you and encourage you and tell you that you probably haven't looked hard enough. You probably haven't sought the Lord hard enough, because the Word of God has the answer. And the Word of God is what I want to base my answer to that question on. I don't want to say, well, just because there's a place for that. There's a place for growing in wisdom and an understanding. And there is a growing period where we're not going to know everything right when we get saved. But if I'm not diligent to study, how am I ever going to get to that place? And the Word of God teaches us very plainly, study to show thyself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not going to divide the word of truth by your opinion. It's just not going to work. You're only going to be able to divide it by the Spirit of God. And we will all come to the same place. And if you feel something different, and you believe that God has shown you something different, and I believe that God has shown me something different, and we're both saved and sanctified, I can promise you that when we come together, and I believe it's this way and you believe it's another way, if we're sanctified, we're going to be of the same Spirit. And we're going to get down together and we're going to pray and we're not going to sit there and argue. It's this way. And God showed me it's this way. Folks, that's not of God. When we're saved and sanctified and there's a difference of opinion and it has to do with the truth, it means we need to dig a little deeper and ask what the Word of God wants and put my opinion and my ideas aside, and God will begin to bless us. And when people say why, we'll have that firm foundation. The landmarks which your fathers have set. You know, it wasn't talking about the landmarks that followed the roast example. It was talking about landmarks that were set by men that were moved by the Spirit of God, and God blessed their lives, and they taught that to their children, and God blessed their children, and they passed it on to what we have today. That's good. And there are again some things that the saints have held that are traditions, as they have been passed down. As the Holy Spirit has blessed those things, we need to hold to them. But, you know, it helps us greatly to go back in history, talk to the older ones, and ask and find out why do we do this if you don't understand? It helps greatly because you're going to be faced with this question all through your life. Your children have asked, and you know there are children that suffer today because they've asked their parents why, and the foundation hasn't been firm. It's just been an opinion. And God wants something better from us tonight. God wants us to search the Scriptures and be able, when people come wanting to know sincere hearts, that we would be in a place spiritually if we'd say and tell them, I don't have the answer, and I'll tell you, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us get the answer. That's what God wants each one of us to do. Well, another scripture, Isaiah 59th chapter, says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. There are some things, there are changes in technology today, and there are things that we face today that there weren't in Jesus' time. That there weren't things we have today to deal with today. The apostles didn't know anything about it. But again, the Bible gives us a foundation. If it's something that people do because the flesh craves it, the Scripture tells us what to do with that. The Scripture tells us what to do about lust. It doesn't matter what form it comes in. If it's the lust of the flesh, folks, it's sin. If it's the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things are sin. It doesn't matter if it's television. It doesn't matter if it's the clothes that I put on. Whatever it is, if it's pride, you know, it all comes back to what's in my heart. And on some of the things, some of the traditions that have been held in the church, it comes down to something that it goes far deeper than we just don't do that. It comes down to an attitude. It comes down to a spirit of worldliness, a spirit of pride. And that helps us understand why. Why I don't go the places I go. Because there's an influence there that's not conducive to godliness. Because there's some things there. It may not be sin in itself, but I'm putting myself in an environment that would be detrimental to my soul. It would begin to threaten my salvation. And I don't want to put myself in that place. Henceforth, I'm not going to do it. And you know what? I'm going to tell my children about it. I'm going to tell them, I didn't go here and it's not wrong to roller skate. But I don't go to those places because of this. It's not a sin to put on some roller skates and go skating down the road. But there are some places that you could go to that in itself it's not wrong. But the place The environment that you're putting yourself in, there's an influence there that's not conducive to godliness. And if you wouldn't want Christ skating right along beside you, I wouldn't go to it. Well, that gets down to Scripture. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, standards. Scripture also says that salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. The standards that the Church of God teaches and holds tonight, they should all be there for our protection. Do you know that there's nothing to be gained? There's nothing to be gained from living a certain way just because it's always been done that way. There's nothing to be gained from depriving yourself just to say that, oh, how deprived I am, how righteous. No, there's nothing to be gained in that. But the things that we do, the places we go, all of those things, it should come back to the place that this is a wall. It's a protection for me. It's here I don't do those things because I value my salvation greater than that. And if it's going to be a threat to that, if there's going to be an influence that would cause me to begin to deviate my fervency for God, it's a place I don't want to be in. And I want to share that with you. And I want you to share that with me and that we can go to heaven. The standards that we hold, the traditions that are in the Church of God, all of those things shouldn't be just to have some standards. The standards should be there to get us to heaven. The standards, the walls, the bulwarks, the traditions, they're in the Church of God, shouldn't be there because it was my idea, because it was my opinion. It should be because it's something to help us get to heaven. It's a benchmark. And I can see that when people have begun to go to these places, I've seen in the past what's happened to their spiritual experience. And when I see the enemy begin to work, when everybody's gone to this place, it should put on a red light to say, Michael, you probably shouldn't go there. Because those that you've observed going there, they haven't drawn closer to God. And they've slowly begun to deviate from the truth that we have. That's a wall. That's a bulwark for me. And it may be a tradition that has been passed down, but yet we should be able to come back that there is a reason for it. And ultimately, it's going to be founded on the Word of God. In times that there are differences, in times that there are, you think one thing and I think another, you know, sometimes that maybe the Lord doesn't really care. Maybe the Lord doesn't really have a... Maybe the Lord has dealt with you individually on something, and you need to be careful about putting your opinion out as Bible, because people have gotten in trouble for that all through the years because they get caught up in zeal and fervor and they see a problem and then they begin to propagate that idea and put it out as truth. That's not what God wants us to do. Why do we do what we do? May the Lord bless us tonight. I'd also make mention that many of the traditions, it seems that we hold and that we teach in the Church of God, many of those, it seems like some of them deal with the outward appearance. We don't usually talk about there being a tradition of not having pride. Now, there may be a tradition of people having pride, but we know that that's not Bible. We know that that's wrong. We know that God's not pleased with it. I would just briefly tonight want to look at a few things dealing with the outward appearance, and we're going to look at it briefly. And there could be a series of lessons, and some of those belong in brothers' meeting and some belong in sisters' meeting. So we want the Lord to bless us tonight just to give His Word. May the Spirit bless. In 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, Scripture says, well, let's begin with the 2nd verse. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. You know, a lot of times when people talk about dress, it's focused to the women. I believe very firmly tonight that that is directed to all of us. Because, do you know that women can be proud in the things that they wear? You know that men can be proud too? Men have to battle that too. Men have problems just as much as women of wanting people to look at them and see them. The Scripture said, let it not be the outward adorning, but let it be, it's the hidden man of the heart. Let it be the inward man. And I want to emphasize tonight, there is a place, and we won't take the time to read it, most all of you probably here know it anyway, but there are other Scriptures that deal with modesty, and that is a place, that is Bible, that we be modest in our dress. That we be decent. That we portray in the things that, you know, it's not just in what we wear, but it's the way that we act, the things we do. There should be a humility there. And when you look at my life, I don't want you to see Michael. I want you to see God. When I look on your life and people come in from the world and they're beginning to ask why, they'll look on your life and they won't see people with pride wanting to make people's attention be drawn to them. But they'll look on and they'll see a meek and a quiet spirit. Well, when Jesus was on earth, do you remember Him ever telling people how to dress? I can't find where He does. Now, if you find it, I would like to know. But I do know the apostles dealt with it, so that means that it's important. It's in the Bible, so it's not something we want to cast out. But I do want to remind you, the only time that I remember Christ talking about the outward man is when He talked to the Pharisees, and He said, you're as white as sepulchres. You look good on the outside with your actions, in the way you dress, you look so pious. But was that good enough just to look good on the outside? No, Christ went on to say, but in the inward man you're full of dead men's bones. You're just a cemetery. There's no life there. And you know tonight that there needs to be, there are standards of modesty that we need to hold. And there's a place that the enemy, the world is slowly and surely getting away from modesty and decency. Look at pictures or talk to people, not pictures, look at people that have been here that know what it was like 50, 60 years ago. And there was a lot more decency. There's a lot more modesty in the world. You know that's the influence of the enemy. Well, do we want to be influenced by the enemy tonight? I would say not. And that is why I want to encourage you, when it's time to get up in the morning and put on your clothes, when it's time to choose what you wear, when you go to this store and you're going to buy some clothes, I want you to remember the Scripture teaches, let it not be the outward adorning, but let it be the hidden man. That people can look on your life. They can look at what you wear and they can say, there's Christ. I can see simplicity. That is why I'm not going to get specific tonight. But that is why we want to be very careful about what we wear. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We don't want to wear things that would cause other people to have some temptation as much as is within our power. We want to dress in such a way with simplicity that we would not portray pride, that we wouldn't portray and wanting people to kind of see us and kind of admire us. That's not of God. And when people say, why do you dress that way? I can turn to the Scripture. And I can say, well, it's because I feel like the Lord, I know the Lord doesn't want us to have pride in our lives. And the Scripture teaches us to be modest and decent. Modesty means moderate. Moderate means temperate. That means then that I'm not going to... He also speaks of... speaks of another place of the apparel expensive... the expense of outward adorning. there needs to be a caution that in the type of things we wear, the way they're made, the way they're cut, all those things, men and women alike tonight, that we be sure that it's coming out of a heart of humility and a heart of meekness. And when people ask why, that's a good answer. Want to be sure that we keep this in mind. Some people say it doesn't matter. I'm saved, I'm right on the inside, and it just doesn't matter what I wear. Well, yes, it does. Because the Lord put us to be an example to the world. When you first look at somebody, you know, we all get first impressions of somebody. I can see someone, I saw a poster the other day in the gas station. And there are a picture of four people on it. I was eating my lunch there. And I was sitting there looking at it, and I could just look at them, and I could about tell you what kind of person they were. I don't know if I was right or not, but I was just sitting there thinking about it. And you know, people do that with us too. You walk into the grocery store, and what do people see? They get a first impression. And if you say the dress isn't important, if you say it doesn't matter, do you know that's the first impression that you're giving people? You say it doesn't matter, but yet it's their first impression. They can't look in your heart and see how you're so exotic and you're not very decent, you're just kind of cutting corners a little bit on the outside. And you say it doesn't matter, that's what they see. What does the Scripture say? That out of the heart floweth the issues of life? When it's in my heart, many times it's going to come out. And if it comes out, more often than not, it's something that's in the heart. And they see me dressed in such a way that people, ooh, look at that. Or people would stop and see me walking down the road and they see the kind of fabric, the kind of coat I have, all those things. Much of this is left between you and God. It's not for man to dictate, but God gave us some Scripture and He gave us some guidelines to follow. We need to be careful. In 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, one of the other questions that oftentimes people ask us, why? Why do you wear your hair the way that you do? Well, the Scripture gives us some answer to that. And again, we're not going to take a lot of time with it. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 13th verse, the Scripture says, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? You know, that says pretty plainly to the man, does not nature itself teach you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair? Does that need a lot of explanation? He goes on to say, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. That is a sign of submission that God wants a woman to have to her husband. Long hair. When someone says why, it's not just because we've always done it that way. It's what the Bible teaches. That's something I want to build my life on. It's what the Bible teaches. It's not just because we've always done it that way. The Bible teaches it. Well, what is long and what is short? That's the next question. What is long and what is short? Well, I don't know, but... Well, I want to give you just a couple things to think about tonight. This is a good place to look at people you know and look at their lives and see how God is blessing their lives. See how God has dealt with people in the past. See those people. The Scripture tells us, He says, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. There's a reason for that. Paul said, follow me, even as I follow Christ. Well, when we mark the perfect man, someone that their attitude is wonderful, someone that's humble, someone that can say I'm wrong, Someone that can say that when they get in a place and they don't know, they'll just say, I don't know, and let's go to the Bible. What's the Word say about it? Someone that you can see where the Holy Spirit has moved and blessed in their life. Mark those people. And I will just tell you, those that I have marked, what I found. The standard, the things that have been taught in the Church of God is that men should be clean cut. That men, the Scripture says, doth not nature teach you. Well, what is long hair? Well, a woman's to have long hair, though. What is long? Does it mean longer than the man's? It's all relative, isn't it? Short and long. The Scripture doesn't say not to cut your hair. But I want to tell you what I have observed. Again, I say what I have observed. And what I know, older ones that God has blessed their lives that have come before me, what they have taught and the reason they have taught it. It has been taught not for a man to be clean cut. Number one, the Scripture teaches for a man not to have long hair. And I have found and observed, generally speaking, that men that have long hair, number one, it's effeminate. The Scripture, there's a difference between men and women's hair. And a woman's hair naturally grows longer than a man's. The Scripture talks in one place about being effeminate. It's not right. Well, that's one reason. Another reason is that I found that men that have long hair and they get shaggy and their hair gets long in the back, that, generally speaking, it's a sign of rebellion. The people that do that, I look at their lives and I don't see God blessing them very richly. I don't see the Spirit of God working with them in a very good way. Do you know that should be a warning to me? Well, it's the same way with women. Well, I'm not. Am I supposed to cut it or can I come at some? And I'm not, and I don't want to give my opinion tonight. But I want to again tell you what I have seen and what the Scripture said. The Scripture says that it is for a woman to have long hair, for it is a glory to her. Well, the Lord allowed a woman's hair to grow as fast and as long as you can. The Lord knows best, doesn't He? If He said to have long hair, I would say more often than not, let the Lord dictate what long is, however long it grows. I've also seen that those that begin to cut their hair for purposes, they say that it's not for pride or not to look a certain way, that many times it doesn't stop with just a little bit of cutting. More often than not, you see the hair moving up and you see it being cut other places. And I would encourage you, I want to make mention of something. I wanted to do this before I even begin. Things of this nature deal with saints. I don't expect somebody that's not saved to have all the pride out of their life. I don't expect someone that's not saved to live above sin. They can't do it. And because they can't do it in the inside, I don't see it coming on the outside. I don't see someone just trying to look all right on the outside and being wrong on the inside. There's something to be said about house rules and things for younger children. I'm not talking about that tonight. But I know also that many times that we want to be careful not to put things that saints and people that are saved and sanctified should be doing. We look at people in the world and say, well, you ought to do such and such. And you ought not to wear those things. Well, they shouldn't have the attitudes they have either. This is just people that are saved and sanctified tonight. With men and women alike, when they deviate from this, from what I've seen in the past, it is a sign. It has been, from what I observed, generally speaking, I'm not saying always, but many times it has been a sign of rebellion to show people I can do what I want to do. And I can throw it in your face. And I can do my own thing. And it doesn't matter what you think. And everybody can see that I'm living the way that I want to live. Well, you can do that. But someone that's saved and sanctified, it sounds like a bad attitude to me. And when it comes from a spirit of pride and rebellion, just wanting everybody to know that I can still be saved and do some of these things, you need to stop and examine the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And if you see it's not out of a good attitude, and you see it's something that generally is not being done among those who are spiritual, I would encourage you to seriously seek the Lord to lead you in your decisions. Enough said. I want to talk about the tie a little bit tonight. That's another question that many people say, why? And I want to give you, to much of my knowledge, I've read in some of the old gospel trumpet books, there have been some discussions, there's very little that's really written about why the decision was made to stop wearing the tie. Now, there has been some written, and from what I have gleaned from that literature and from what I have heard Brother Carver, I have a tape of Brother Carver when he went and he talked about some of those things. And I believe these are issues that when someone says, why don't you? Well, if I don't have a reason, I don't want to build my life on something that there's absolutely no foundation. That's vain traditions in men's philosophies and men's opinions. And I don't want to build my life on something like that. And I don't believe you do either. So that means let's get back to the Word. Let's see where God has blessed and led through the ages, where He's blessed and where He's led men and women who are moved by the Spirit of God. And I want to incorporate those things in my life. Because I can see it work for you. And I want it to work for me. I want to make it to heaven. And the goal is not just to look so right on the outside. You know, there can be pride there too. I have my sleeves so good, my dress is so long, and I'm just pretty holy. That's an attitude that you need to work on. So, it's not just the outward man. But the most important is the inward man. But we still have to deal with the outward man sometimes. Okay, with the tie. To the best of my understanding, I'll just tell you the story of the story. I will tell you why, from what I understand, the way that it came about that the brethren took their tie off. The older ministers, the pioneer ministers, many of them wore ties. And there was Brother D.S. Warner was out on an evangelistic trip one time, and some other brethren there and sisters went to a Mennonite place, and I believe they had service there. And after the service, they got in conversation with the Mennonites, and the Mennonites, they had their cap on. And they began to talk about this covering issue and this hair issue. Now remember, the scripture we just read said the hair was given as a covering. Well, they began to talk to them and tell them about that. And those Mennonites kind of sat back there and looked at these brethren. And they said, will you teach this about, you know, dress and wearing the extras and the things that aren't necessary? And that's all well and good, but why do you wear a tie? And why do you have cuffs? Why do you have the collars on? Well, they said, well, I don't know. And they took them off. They went back and they prayed about it, and Brother D.S. Warner came back, and Brother D.S. Warner was a man just like we were. I believe the Lord used him. The Lord had a call to him, but he was a man just as we are. But God blessed him with His Spirit. We can see where God used him. And he went to prayer about the matter, and he came back from prayer and he said that the Lord showed him, based on the Scripture, much of what we've already mentioned briefly tonight, that the collar was there for a purpose. It protected their shirt from getting dirty. And I don't understand all of it because I don't know exactly how those collars and cuffs worked. But apparently they serve a purpose. And they keep the things from getting frayed and getting dirty. And they can just change their collar, their cuffs and their collar, what gets dirty the quickest. So they can take those off and put on new ones and look like new money. Well, so he said those things were useful. But he said the tie, the Lord showed them that it was just for looks. That's the only reason they had a necktie on, was just for looks. And his brother Carver put it, he said, when you go to the store to buy a tie, he said, you want to find the prettiest one that you can. That's what Brother Carr said, and I agree with that. When you go, you want to make something either make you look professional, or maybe a little, just give you a little different look. It's just for appearance. The tie serves no useful purpose. And so the brethren took it off. And God blessed them in it. Well, that's why we don't wear a tie. You could say it's a tradition, but when you really think about it and examine the Scripture with pride and the decency and the modesty and just what the Lord would be pleased with, you know, the thing is, it's not why don't we wear ties now. It's may the Lord help me in other things that I wear, not to wear them because there's pride and all the little extras. And if I don't wear a necktie around my neck, that little bow, maybe I shouldn't wear it on the rest of my clothes and in my hair. I don't want to get out of line here, get out of order, but I want to remind us that this is the reason why don't you wear a tie. It was because they were questioned. I don't understand why you brothers and sisters, you preach and teach what you do, but then you have that piece of cloth that's not, it's not good for anything. It just kind of sets things off just right, your clothes, and makes you look just so. And they said, well, they went to prayer and said, well, you're right. And they took it off. Now that's a good spirit to have. Even if you're wrong in something, and someone says, well, do you think you ought to do that? And you say, well, probably not. I'll just submit to that. That's a good spirit. Well, they took it off, and as most of you probably know, it wasn't long in 1908, 1913, that time period, there was many problems. Some division began to come in the church over the tie issue, and I kind of look at the tie issue as the spotted owl issue in Oregon. It was the timber controversy, how much timber to cut down. So the spotted owl has become a big symbol, and there was a brother, so they took off the tie, and people submitted to that, and they understood that, so they took it off. And then it wasn't long before there was a banker in Alabama that got saved. And he said, I'm dealing with a higher class of people. And he said, I'm going to wear my tie, and I'm saved, and I'm going to put on my tie so that I can look again, I can look just so, I can look professional. And he said, I'm going to wear this thing so that I can communicate better, so I can be on the level of the high-class people that I deal with. And so other people said, well, if that fella can do it, I can put my tie back on too. So many people began to do it. You need to stop. Why did they put it back on? What was the attitude? What was the spirit behind it? And it's something that sometimes it's important that the young people and the parents and all of us know why we do what we do. Because when people question us and we don't know, I don't believe we've done enough studying. I don't believe we've done enough searching of the Scripture. And all of this comes with time. And we can't all be expected to know it all at the same time. And that's why we can help each other out. That's why the Lord placed members in the body, that we can encourage one another and instruct one another. But when people ask, why don't we wear a tie? I help maybe just this reiterating this little account would maybe help some of you know a little bit more about what happened. That's why they took off the tie. And that's why some people began to put it back on. They wanted to reach a higher class. Well, the gospel will stand on its own, saints. The gospel will stand by itself, and I don't need to get all the little frills to add to it. The Bible will stand, and I want to stand with it in the things I do, the places I go, and the things that I wear. And I want to follow the leadings of the Spirit, and I want you too, and we can help one another out in these things. I will just mention briefly another question that has arisen on why. There has been a thought, and I want to just give you a little, just refer to the Scripture and the little bit of history, just briefly as I understand it. But some people think that they have the, may I say, opinion. And you know that everybody's entitled to their opinion. But when it comes down to things, when we begin, I can say this is my opinion, and that's okay. But when my opinion is contradictory to the Word of God, I'm in trouble. And when people say why, and two different saints say do different things, I think they need to dig. Well, just a little question of mustaches and beards. That's just a question that people ask sometimes. I know there's been some differences of opinion. Well, if you will turn and we can read it if you want. Isaiah the 50th chapter and the 5th verse. This is speaking of Christ. It said the Lord God, Isaiah 50 and the 5th verse, said, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. From what I understand in the things, Christ had a beard. You know, I don't read anywhere God gave men a beard, and women don't have one, generally speaking. Well, Christ had one, and God gave that. And one of the things, there was a sister that asked someone one time and said, why do you have that beard? And he said, well, I have it for the same reason that your husband shaves his off. And this is just one little question people may say why. I'm not meant to be funny tonight. But it's just one more little thing that sometimes people ask why. Most of the older ministers of the time wore beards and mustaches. From what I understand, Christ wore one. And most importantly, the Bible doesn't say not to. The Bible doesn't even allude to it. Now I will say this. If there's pride, as in anything else, better shave it off. If there's pride, if the spirit and the attitude is wrong, just as in anything else, you better get rid of it. That doesn't apply just to beards and mustaches. It applies to what we wear, things we do, places we go, everything. It comes back to the inward man. May we shift gears for just a minute tonight. I know that most of this has dealt with the outward man, but we're talking about why, so I feel like I can do a little change here as the Lord would lead. I want to talk about TV for just a few minutes. That is a question that I probably grew up being asked quite frequently. Why don't you have a TV? And I was among people that didn't understand that. Well, when people ask me why I don't have a TV, do you know I like to say more than just, well, Mom and Dad didn't have one, so I don't have one now. I want to tell you why. And the number of months ago, maybe a couple years ago, I brought this out in another message at Guthrie at the old chapel. But I want to tell you again. There was a study that a national magazine did, and they wanted to look at the top 18 corporations or people or movements that had the most influence in the nation. And they did this survey, and they surveyed people and did a study on this. They used the people they were looking at that had influence. The Supreme Court has a lot of influence. The Supreme Court dictates what laws can go and which ones are invalid. There's the Supreme Court, the White House with the President, the Congress, the big corporations, religion, all of those things have a lot of influence. But what they found in their study was that the number one influence in America was the media. It was the television. Number one influence. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. It's going to be Bible-based. When the world admits that television is the number one influence, you know there are some good things that are on television. There are some documentaries, there are some history, there are some things that may be good that is on there. But do you know there's a lot of stuff that's frankly it's just garbage? It's not good, it's wickedness, it's lust, it's reveling, it's drunkenness, it's just something that's not good. And I know God's not in those things. Why would I want to bring the thing that has the number one influence in this nation? Why would I want to bring something like that into my home to expose myself and to expose my family to things that I know are not good? And many people will say, well, we can control it. You know, there are many people that say they control it and they can't control it. And when you're watching, maybe you're watching a good thing. There are good things on there, folks. It's not all bad. There are things that people, productions and things that people do that I'm sure aren't bad. But there are also things, what about when the commercials come on? You don't know what commercial is going to come on. Well, I'm pretty selective in what I watch, but you don't know what's going to come next. You do not know what's going to come next. You know that advertising is one of the biggest things, and that marketing is an enormous thing in this world, in America, everywhere. People paying money to advertise their product. And you know that you see the billboards, you know how they're advertising it? They're advertising it with things of lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. That's what they're geared to advertising. More often than not, on the billboard, that's what you see. Why would I want to bring something like that into my home and expose my children? And I said, well, they're not really being influenced by it. I can tell them it's not right. Saints, I want to tell you what. It is the number one influence in America, and I don't want to bring that. I don't want to expose my children to that thing. And the enemy will use it and say, well, there's a lot of good in it. There's a lot of good things in it. But saints, if there's wrong, why would I want to expose my children to it? May God help us to realize the power of influence tonight. It's something, and it goes way beyond television. It goes to the things that we do, the things we read, the things that we expose our children to. Folks, we have a heritage in our children. We have a heritage in the places, in the saints of God. And when we come together, I want God to bless us. And if there are things that I'm incorporating in my home that are not godly and have that subtle influence of the enemy, I need to get it out. And that's what the television, that's why we don't have televisions in our home. And that is why there are other things that you need to look to the Lord. Lord, it may not be sin in itself, and there may be some good things with it, but you've got to look and know what the enemy is good at. He's a good deceiver. The enemy comes in and he makes things look good, but yet he has on the sheep clothing. There's a lot of good there. But folks, examine the influence and come back to the Word of God. Put my opinion aside, O Lord. Help me, Lord, to put down my idea. And if I have to submit and I have to eat some humble pie, Lord, help me. But let me come back to the Bible. And when people say, why? I can come back to the Word and say, this is the reason why I don't do that. And I want the Lord to bless. In Romans, in the 14th chapter, close here shortly. Romans 14 in the 13th verse. Scripture says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, the Scripture teaches very plainly not to judge one another. He said, but judge this rather, that you don't put a stumbling block in your brother's way. There are some things tonight that you may say the Scripture does not deal directly with this. You cannot point to black and white where the Word of God teaches me to do this thing. But you would be well advised not judge your brother, number one. He said, let us not judge one another. There's no room for discussion there. It's let us not judge one another anymore. It's very plain and very simple. But he said, don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There are some things that we do that you may say, I don't see where that's necessary. And when you ask the question why, and you can't find a good answer. You don't feel, maybe you just don't feel like maybe we're holding a little bit more on ourselves than God does. And you said, well, I could do that and not, I wouldn't feel a speck of guilt. I feel like God would bless me and I can do that thing. Well, maybe you could. And Paul addressed that by the inspiration of the Spirit. He said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. There are some areas of conscience that God may deal with you on and not deal with everybody else. Number one, you better hold that, but be careful you don't add to the Word of God and put it on everybody else. That's wrong. It says that your name won't be written in the book of life if you add or take away from this book. And when you begin to add or take away basic living that the Bible gives us what we need, saints. And when you begin to deviate from that, if you have a conviction, you have something that you feel like God has impressed you with and you know it's not founded on the Word of God, that's okay. But you hold that yourself. Right here in the 22nd verse, it says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Well, it goes on then, says, but don't no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. If you feel like you can do something that has been taught in the church for, you know, today and 10 years ago and 20 years ago, and it's been taught that we don't do this, we don't wear these things, we don't dress this way, and you examine the Scripture and you ask why and you ask the Lord to reveal it to you, and you come to the place that you say, if you really feel that God does not require that of you, this is a Scripture, this is just as valid as any other Scripture in the Bible. It says, judge this, that you don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's way. If you can do something that nobody else is doing, and that everybody else has said, we don't do this, in yourself, God may release you to go do that. But the Scripture says, don't give your brother a cause to stumble. There are some that are weak in the faith, and there are some that are counting on you to give them an example to follow. And if it's something you feel God will let you do and you don't have a conviction about it, I want to caution you, there are some things that maybe you just need to submit to and say, Lord, I'll go along with what everybody's teaching because I wouldn't want to be a hindrance. And I wouldn't want to cause discord. And I'm not talking about things that are sin. I'm not talking about when there is sin, we need to stand up for that. I'm talking about little things maybe that we have taught and held that we don't do, and some things we do. And it's a matter of conviction, but it's been taught. I want to caution you, be careful not to give your brother an occasion to fall. I trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts. There are many, many more questions of why, but it all has to come back to the Word of God and what the Lord requires of us and how the Lord has dealt with His Spirit. Amen.